सन्ति दिशन्ति भिक्षाम् नैवाङ्घ्रिपापरब्रूतः सरितो अप्यशुष्यना रुद्धा गुहा किमजितोवती नोपसन्नान् कस्माद् भजन्ति कवयो धनदुर्मान् दुर्मदान्धान् चीराणि किं पथि न सन्ति दिशन्तिं भिक्षाम् नैवाङ्घ्रिपा परभृतः सरितो अप्यशुष्यन् वृद्धा गुहा किमजितो अवती नोपसन्नान् कस्माद् भजन्ति कवयो धनदुर्मा दुर्मदान्धान्। बोलिए इमानि पति न सन्ति दिशन्ति भिक्षाम् नैवाङ्घ्रिपा परभृतः सरितो अप्यशुष्यन् रुद्धा गुहाः कमजितो अवती नोपसन्नान् कस्माद् भजन्ति कवयो धनदुर्मदान्धान्। हरे कृष्ण। एनीवे विल स्टार्ट फ्रॉम हियर ओनली। दिस वर्स इज नॉट इन द नॉर्मल मीटर, सो प्रभुपाद चैंटेड लाइक दिस द वे आई चैंटेड। चिराणी, प्लीज रिपीट, चिराणी टॉन क्लोथ्स, किम वेदर, पथी ऑन द रोड, न नॉट, संति देर इज, दिशंति गिव इन चैरिटी, भिक्षाम हाम्स, न नॉट एव ऑल्सो अंघ्रिपाहा द ट्रीज, परभृतः वन हू मेंटेन्स अदर्स, सरिताहा द रिवर्स, अपि ऑल्सो अशुष्यान हैव ड्राइड अप, वृद्धाः क्लोज्ड, गुहाः केव्स, किम वेदर, अधिताः द ऑलमाइटी लॉर्ड, अवती गिव प्रोटेक्शन, न नॉट उपसन्नान द सरेंडर्ड सोल, कस्मात व्हाट फॉर देन, भजन्ति फ्लैटर्स, कव्यः द लर्नेड, धन वेल्थ, दुर्मधान्धान टू इंटॉक्सिकेटेड बाय। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। आर देर नो टोन क्लोथ्स लाइंग ऑन द कॉमन रोड? डू द ट्रीज विच एग्जिस्ट फॉर मेंटेनिंग अदर्स नो लॉन्गर गिव आर्म्स इन चैरिटी? डू द रिवर्स बींग ड्राइड अप नो लॉन्गर सप्लाई वॉटर टू द थर्स्टी? आर द केव्स ऑफ द माउंटेन्स नाउ क्लोज्ड? Or above all, does the Almighty Lord not protect the fully surrendered souls? Why then do the learned sages go to flatter those who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth? Dhana durman dadhan. Purport. Please hear patiently. It's a long purport, but very interesting purport. The renounced order of life is never meant for begging or living at the cost of others as a parasite. According to the dictionary, the parasite is a sycophant who lives at the cost of society without making any contribution to that society. The renounced order is meant for contributing something substantial to society and not depending on the earnings of the householders. On the contrary, acceptance of alms from the householders by the bona fide mendicant is an opportunity afforded by the saint for the tangible benefit of the donor. In the Sanatan Dharma institution, Alms giving to the mendicant is a part of householder's life and duty. It is advised in the scriptures that the householder should treat the mendicants as their family children and should provide them food, clothing, with etc. without being asked. Pseudo-mendicants, therefore, should not take advantage of the charitable disposition of the faithful householders. The first duty of the person in the renounced order of life is to contribute some literary work for the benefit of the human being in order to give them realized direction towards self-realization. Amongst the other duties of in the renounced order of the life of Srila Sanatana, Srila Rupa and other Goswamis of Vrindavan, the foremost duty discharged by them was to hold learned discourses among themselves at Seva Kunj Vrindavan. The spot where Sri Radha Damodar temple was established by Jiva Goswami and where the actual Samadhi tombs of Srila Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami are laid. For the benefit of all in human society, they left behind them immense literatures of transcendental importance. Similarly, the acharyas who voluntarily accepted the renounced order of life aimed at benefiting human society and not at living comfortable or irresponsible life at the cost of others. However, those who cannot give any contribution should not go to householders for food. For such mendicants, asking bread from the householders is an insult to the higher order. Shukadeva Goswami gave this warning especially for those mendicants who adopt this line of profession or to solve their economic problems. Which means, taking sannyas is not to solve economic problems. Such mendicants are in abundance in the age of Kali. When a man becomes mendicant willfully or by circumstances, he must be of firm faith and conviction that Supreme Lord is the maintainer of all beings, all living beings, everywhere in the universe. Why then would he neglect the maintenance of a surrendered soul who is 100% engaged in the service of the Lord? A common master looks after the necessities of his servant. So how much more would the all-powerful, all-opulent Supreme Lord look after the necessities of life of a surrendered soul? The general rule is that a mendicant devotee will accept a simple, small loincloth without asking anyone to give it in charity. He simply salvages it from the rejected torn cloth thrown on the street. When he is hungry, he may go to the magnanimous tree which drops fruit, and when he is thirsty, he may drink water from the flowing river. He does not require to live in a comfortable house, but he should find a cave in the hills and not be afraid of jungle animals, keeping faith in God who lives in everybody's heart. The Lord may dictate to tigers and other jungle animals not to disturb his devotee. Haridas Thakur, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, used to live in such a cave, and by chance a great venomous snake was a co-partner of the cave. Some admirer of Thakur Haridas, who had to visit the Thakur every day, feared the snake and suggested that Thakur leave that place. Because his devotees were afraid of the snake and they were regularly visiting the cave, Thakur Haridas agreed to the proposal of the on this account. But as soon as this was settled, the snake actually crawled out of his hole in the cave and left the cave for good before everyone's eyes. By the dictation of the Lord, who lived also within the heart of the snake gave preference to Haridas and decided to leave the place and not disturb him. So this is a tangible example of how the Lord gives protection to a bona fide devotee like Haridas Thakur. According to the regulations of Sanatan Dharma institution, one is trained from beginning to depend fully on the protection of the Lord in all the circumstances. The path of renunciation is recommended for acceptance by one who is fully accomplished and fully purified in his existence. This stage is described also in Bhagavad Gita as Daivi Sampat. A human being is required to accumulate Daivi Sampat or spiritual asset. Otherwise, the next alternative is Asuri Sampat. The material assets will overcome him disproportionately, and thus one will be forced into the entanglement of different miseries of the material world. A sannyasi should always live alone, without company, and he must be fearless. He should never be afraid of living alone, although he is never alone. The Lord is always residing in the heart of everyone, and unless one is purified by the prescribing process, by the prescribed process, one will feel that he is alone. But a man in the renounced order of life must be purified by the process. Thus, he will feel the presence of the Lord everywhere and will have nothing to fear, such as being without any company. Everyone can become a fearless, honest person if his very existence is purified by discharging the prescribed duty for each and every order of life. One can become fixed in one's prescribed duty by faithful oral reception of Vedic instructions and assimilation of the essence of Vedic knowledge by devotional service to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki. Umagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai sri guruve namaha sri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakada mayam dadati svapadantikam sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadhar shiva sadigaura bhakta vrinda. Clip lama clip. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. After such a beautiful, long, elaborate, descriptive purport, actually there is no need of class. The class is over. But still, as per the injunction, we will try to speak few words, repeating the words of Acharyas. Srila Prabhupada begins this lecture by saying, Sukadeva Goswami, who is speaking this verse, was a born sannyasi. In fact, he lived in the womb also as sannyasi. He had no interest in coming out of the world. He lived in the womb for 16 years, quite overdue, because he was not interested in any activities of the material world. So he was sannyasi from within only. When he came out after 16 years at the request of his father Vyasadev, and on recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam again, he just walked out as Digambara, wearing the clothes of directions in the world. And his whole life is so exemplary and ideal, absorbed completely, transcendentally in the memory of the Lord, in service to the Lord. He offered one time one seva to the world. He is so powerful that even today we are reciting his words. For time immemorial to come in future, also it will be applicable. It is not expired knowledge. It's evergreen knowledge, ever transcendental knowledge available to the welfare of the living entities. So, Srila Prabhupada says that human life means civilized life. There is nothing like uncivilized human life. You can say uncivilized life, because human life is the only species of life which is meant for rules and regulations, maryada. And Srila Prabhupada explains that civilization means to follow the rules and regulations of Vedas, given by Vedas, for the sole purpose of uplifting the soul to the transcendental platform, lifting the soul from the material entanglement, lifting the soul from suffering from the reactions of karma, birth after birth, lifting the soul from so-called eternally miserable situation in the material world. It's a most wonderful opportunity for the soul after transmigrating from one after another living species, 8400,000 species of life, suffering birth, old age, disease and death. This is the only opportunity where we have been given the beautiful intelligence, spiritual intelligence, not to just aggrandize the sense gratification available in the other species, not only to have the sensual pleasures better than the animals and lower species. People sometimes think, Vritam Pibe, there is one shloka by Charvak Muni. Whatever happens, eat with ghee. That means always enjoy. Use your human body, the best capacity, the intelligence, for enjoyment of senses, which animals cannot do with so much of intelligence. So, accepting the regulative principles given in the Vedas, which means it is a system of 4 varnas and 4 ashramas, right? The basic foundation of civilized human life begins from the knowledge that we are not this body. Even if you have not realized that, even if you accept it theoretically, intellectually, philosophically, that is the actual beginning of civilized human life. If you are not even convinced theoretically of this fact, then life is like rotting in the gutter, in the dirt of sufferings, perpetual sufferings, life after life in the material world. So, beginning is, you are not this body. And who are we? We are spirit souls. The next beautiful foundational principle to understand, we are spirit souls, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at the same time, we, the spirit soul, are living in the body itself, which we are not. We are not the body. We don't belong to the body. But somehow we have to reside in the body, use the body to get out of the bodily entanglement, out of the body and the bondage of the material world. So to perfect our human life, while living in the body, we need to accept the system, the institution, which has 8 divisions. One is called social division, another is called spiritual division. Why social division? Because we have the body, we need to live in the body. So the social division is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. As per the body, as per the intellect, as per the propensity, aptitude, there are people who are intellectually predisposed, there are people who are administratively oriented, there are people who are trade oriented, and other people who are just like helpers to all the three. So intellectuals are called Brahmanas, who study scriptures, guide people, who follow themselves, guide other people. Yajana, Yajana, Patana, Patana. Kshatriyas, on the guidance of Brahmanas, do the administration, prashasan of the whole well-being of society. And to run the society, we need money. So Krishi, Vanijya, Goraksha, that is done by Vaishyas. They do trading. And all the others to help them by small works like carpentry work, painting work, plumbing work, this work, that work, labor work. They're not lowly, but they simply have the propensity to serve, to assist. And all these 4 things actually form the real social structure of our life. We can survive. We cannot survive without the head, although we have strong arms and strong legs and strong belly to digest food. We need head. At the same time, we only have a head and don't have hands and legs. We cannot survive. We don't have stomach, active stomach. There is no stomach in the abdomen. We can't survive. And we can't go here and there. There are no legs. So everything has to be in place to be a perfect human being and to have a perfect society of human beings. So, and there are 4 spiritual divisions at the same time. And what are they? Brahmachari ashram, Prastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram and Sannyasa ashram. If life is considered to be 100 in number, then 25 years is Brahmacharya, keeping celibacy, studying scriptures, controlling senses, creating a strong foundation. Then entering in Grastha life, another 25 years, accepting wife, having children, raising them in Krishna consciousness, establishing spiritual culture for salvation of everybody in the family. Once family duties are over, accepting vanaprastha, that means traveling and preaching the message of Krishna consciousness, giving up gross sense gratification, and when we are ready and ripe, we give up, the men give up the active family life and take sannyas. Kaya, vacha, mani, body, mind and words surrender to the service of the Lord, fully focused, dead for the material world, dead for the body, dead for enjoyment, dead for society, alive for the Lord only. That is sannyasa. So 25% each, if life is 80 years, like that. Now, one more important information Prabhupada gives is that Brahmanas are supposed to live all the four. That means Brahmachari ashram, Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram and Sannyasi. Kshatriyas are not supposed to take Sannyas. Only they can become Brahmachari, go to Gurukul, learn, enter Grihastha ashram, enter forest. But no sannyas recommended for them because propensity is not there. Vaishyas who are traders, they are only supposed to attend Brahmachari ashram, learn and just enter Grihastha ashram. No vanaprastha, no sannyas. And Shudras who are helpers, no Brahmachari ashram also, only Grihastha ashram. This is Vedic injunction. So renounce order is supposed to be the crown of the spiritual divisions of society. Ashrama. What is ashrama? Ashrama is a place where Lord is in the center. Not just physically in the center, but actively in the center, in the hearts of people. They consider him as a central figure, the central personality whom we serve and take as our master, the Lord and master. That is ashram. So this Brahmachari ashram also same thing. We take Krishna as our center of life and we consider ourselves servants of Krishna in celibacy. Then we enter Grihastha ashram, we install deities, we offer food, we worship them, we have festivals. All our life is around them, we earn money for them, work for them, we work to please them, even though we have wife and children and relatives. Vanaprastha ashram also, we leave the comforts of home and travel and preach the message of the Lord. Keeping Lord in the center and dependency on Him. And sannyas is complete dependency, giving up everything and full dependence on the Lord. So it is explained that when we accept a renounced order of life, either it is Brahmachari ashram or in sannyas ashram, or while traveling and preaching, devotees can beg alms to maintain themselves. But simply begging alms to maintain themselves is an insult to the higher order of life. That is what is very clearly mentioned by Sukadeva Goswami here. It's an insult if you simply beg alms to eat food and maintain your body as a sannyasi. So how do we reciprocate and how do we not get bound by this activity of begging alms? Is by talking about Krishna. Is by giving discourses on Krishna consciousness. And is by writing literary contributions, writing granthas of our own realizations. To write spiritual literatures which are realized items for the self-realization of the society. When we do that, then we are urina. Urina means we are free from the bondage of the maintenance that we have received from the grahasthas. Because when we receive charity from grahasthas, and we eat out of that, or clothe out of that, or stay out of that, or use the wealth, the karma of the grahastha affect the renounced order of life. And to get rid of that karma of the wealth that we are using from grahasthas, we have to in return serve them in Krishna consciousness. It is said in Braj that jis ghar mein bhojan karte hain, wahan par bhajan zarur karna hai. Without that we should not leave. If you are called for prasad in somebody's house, even for grahasthas, what to speak of sannyasis? Even for grahasthas, if you go to somebody's house and eat, we should do some kirtan for 2 minutes or talk about Krishna for a few minutes or have some spiritual discussion of question and answers or give lecture or give some literature either written by you or written by your acharya. Please read this or share your knowledge or realization. Then we become urina. From that acceptance of food that we had. And we don't get bound by the reactions. The whole material world is based on sufferings of the reactions of our previous karmas. In one line, the material life is defined like that. And the whole purpose of salvation is to get freed from the bondage of the karma that we are involved in or entangled in. We have past karma, we are creating new karma today, and we'll do something tomorrow also. So it's like a big chain. You solve one knot behind, one more knot is created, and you solve that knot, another knot is created, and there is a big continuous chain of knots life is made of. So all that we have to do is work in the direction of negating or nullifying all the reactions of our karma. So every action can be nullified like that. And the only way to nullify all the actions of our life is to offer the fruits of actions to Krishna or do actions only for Krishna. And that is bhakti. Bhakti means not doing any activity which are not in service to Krishna. And bhakti means doing activities only to serve Krishna and the devotees. And this activity of bhakti is highest renunciation. Smartavyam satatam Krishna. Vismartavyam na jatuchit. Or anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. According to Rupa Goswami, this is the principle of highest renunciation. Highest vairagya is accepting what is favorable to Krishna consciousness and rejecting everything unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. You don't have to be a brahmachari, grahastha, vanprastha, sannyasi. In any stage of life, if you adopt this principle, even though dress is different, is the highest sannyasi, highest renunciant. So Shikdev Goswami warns the renounce order especially not to go to householders just to solve our economic problems, to fulfill our financial needs, because we are not having income as the renounce order of life. And second, not to approach grahasthas just to maintain oneself. Such pseudo renunciants who just go or accept renounce order of life just to earn livelihood. What to do? There is no earning, no education. Better to join the temple so we get 2 times food and we can wear the different kind of cloth and everything will be all right. We are sick, we will be maintained when we are sick. These people are plenty in society. And they are the insult, they are an insult to the higher order of sannyasis. So Prabhupada explains, there are 4 stages of renounced order of life. Putichaka, staying in the forest. Bahudaka, Parivrajaka, that means traveling and preaching. And Paramahamsa, the highest stage where the simply absorption. Paramahamsa means swan. Swan doesn't get, you know, when drinks milk, he just only takes milk and leaves the water. So Paramahamsa is the highest kind of swanly personality. Lives in the world but doesn't partake of any worldly activities, only takes the spiritual essence of his life and everybody's life. So, Prabhupada explains about Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, nicely mentions about Vrindavan, that they were such order of sannyasis, such a high level, that at times they didn't even go out to beg. It's called Ajagar Pravruti. Ajagar Pravruti means he just lives and whatever comes by, he just eats. If nothing comes by, he just lays down there. Now, this is considered very lazy in the material world. In the material sense, if you look at this, it's something to be most lazy, useless person who doesn't have any intention of doing hard work. If he opens the mouth, food comes, he only will eat. But he will not work hard for that. But in spiritual sense, this is the highest pravruti. Why highest pravruti? Because ajagar pravruti in spiritual sense means total dependence on the Lord. The Lord will maintain me. For example, Sanatana Goswami left Vrindavan and went to Nandagaon at Pavan Sarovar. And he was doing bhajan of the Lord. He was chanting the holy names at the banks of Pavan Sarovar. And he was so absorbed in the chanting of the holy names, he didn't have any cognizance also that he is hungry, he is supposed to eat, he is supposed to sleep, he is supposed to take care of his body, answer to nature's call. But the absorption in Krishna was so much that he had forgotten, and it was past 3 days. And when such condition came, he was so absorbed, Sri Krishna appeared as a cowherd boy with a pot of milk. He said, "Oh Sadhu, oh Maharaj, I heard from the local women who come to wash their clothes here that you have been not going out of your kuti also for last 3 days. That means not eaten anything. And those who are mendicants and sadhus and who don't go out to beg alms from grihasthas, I come personally to give them milk. Please take milk. And I will come back again." And Sanatana Goswami was quite enamored with the sweet, you know, resonating voice of this beautiful boy and his beauty and his words and his kindness and his gesture. So he just took the milk and he had tears coming from his eyes naturally of love. His voice choked up, his hair stood on end, and he realized he was none other than Krishna who came. He was searching him to give the pot back, but he never returned. Same thing with Madhavendra Puri and the next generations maybe. Just 400 years back, was just meditating on the Lord, chanting his holy names at Govind Kund in Govardhan. Again, the same coward boy, the blue beautiful boy came and told him, "Oh Sadhuji, the local women told me that you are not eating anything, sitting under a tree whole day, not going home to beg bhiksha. So my duty is to feed all those who don't go." And he gave him again the milk pot and drank the milk pot. And then he could not find that beautiful boy. He realized he was Krishna. And he was so enamored that he ate the pot piece by piece every day for long, many months. It was so, so blissful. So what does this Leela describe to us? That if we depend on the Lord fully, Lord takes full responsibility. It is very beautifully explained in the purport here. That the Lord is maintaining two kinds of people. All the living entities, including the elephants, who eat in tons. If you eat two chapatis, you eat 200 kilos of whatever items you cook. That kind of requirement is there. But they also get enough food. They live in jungle, they don't have house, they don't have job, they don't have earning. The birds, the tigers, the lions, the cheetahs, and the deers, and the cows and the bulls and all kinds of animals and insects, the sea creatures like the fishes, they all are provided food by the Lord. They may not be devotees of the Lord. They are not saying, "Oh Lord, I am in the water, please send me some worms." No, the worms are already there. And second kind of people whom Lord is maintaining is the sinful people also. Right? Those who are miscreants. Was Ravan hungry? Was Hiranyakashipu hungry? Was Kumbhakarna hungry? He would get enough amount of food once in 6 months. So the Lord is maintaining all sinful creatures. The Lord is maintaining all other creatures who are lower than human beings. Then the question is, rhetorical question, why would Lord not maintain the person who is dedicated 100% in his service? Even if the worldly master, who is a householder, who has 2-3 servants at home, he feeds them sumptuously, gives them salary, gives them clothing, Diwali gifts, maintains his family kindly, just a servant. So why would Lord not maintain his surrendered devotee? So Sukadeva Goswami and Srila Prabhupada are trying to instill faith in us. And these words are not only applicable to sannyasis or brahmacharis. This is applicable to every living entity who is in brahmacharya ashram or grihastha ashram or sannyasi ashram. Because whether you are brahmachari or grihastha, you are maintained by the Lord only. A sannyasi or brahmachari may think, "I am depending on him," and grihastha may think, "I am depending on my hard work." But the fruit of your hard work is given by Krishna only. When the ghati at home works 15 hours, doesn't earn like you, sit on the phone and make lakhs of rupees. So, whether we are brahmachari or grihastha or a sannyasi, in all conditions of life, we are maintained by the Lord only. And recognizing that and acting accordingly is bhakti. Thinking that I am working hard and I am making my money is material life. It entangles you. Another example is Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami also was not going out. And one day he thought, "It is my brother's birthday today. Sanatana Goswami's birthday." That was on the Ashada Purnima day. And he thought, "I should celebrate my elder brother's birthday because he's also like my guru. I should make some kheer for him." But then he thought, kheer means you have to have rice, you have to go to beg rice, then you have to beg milk, then you have to beg sugar, then you have to make the spices, and then you have to light the fire, and then you have to make it. It's a long procedure, so I leave it. I don't want to get into that. And he got busy in writing the literature that he was writing there. Beautiful literatures. Such a genuine desire he had to glorify a devotee and to serve a devotee. That inspired Srimati Radharani to appear there as a small coward girl, carrying a basket on her head with rice, milk and ingredients. And she came and said, "Oh, Sadhuji, my mother has sent me to give you these ingredients. These ingredients are for making kheer, for sweet rice." And he just looked at a girl and he was busy. He said, "Do you have some time? Can you cook it yourself?" So that girl, Radharani, cooked that sweet rice, lighting all the fire and all the labor for the pleasure of his two devotees, one who wanted to serve and one who to be served. And she said, "Sadhuji, the kheer is ready, so you can honor it." And she went away. And then Sanatana Goswami came. And Rupa Goswami said, "Happy birthday to you. My obeisances to you, my glories to you for your appearance day. Please have this kheer." So both of them took the bowl and they started having the kheer. And both of them were shedding tears of ecstasy. Their voice were getting choked, hair was standing on end, they were getting stunned, they were getting completely bewildered by spiritual experience. And Sanatana Goswami asked, "Hari, from where you got this kheer?" He said, "One girl came, she cooked," and he narrated the story to him. He said, "How did she look like?" He described to her, she was wearing blue ghagra and pink blouse, and she had beautiful lotus-like eyes. And while hearing, they could not stop eating, and they were getting the ecstasy, and he could not stop asking questions. And suddenly Sanatana Goswami said, "Are Rupa, you are staying in Vrindavan Dham, Braj Bhumi, to serve the Lord or to be served by the Lord? This girl was not ordinary girl, she was Radharani herself. What kind of a devotee you are, you should be serving the Lord and Radharani and Shyam Sundar, and you are taking service from them, you engage her in your service, and we are eating." So ideally speaking, if he really felt like that, he should have stopped eating the sweet rice. But while eating all this, he kept on eating the sweet rice. He was so ecstatic and so lovingly expressing the love of Supa Goswami, love of Radharani for his devotees. So at the same time, philosophically he is telling Rupa Goswami, but he is not able to stop eating that sweet rice. What is all this? Even if you have some sentiment, some emotion to please the devotee, still Krishna is and Radharani are there to help you to fulfill your sweet divine desire. So we should not worry about all these things. If you really are fixed up in serving the Lord in your life, whatever you will need, you will get. I can tell you out of my experience, guarantee all of you, please have faith in the words of Shukadev and Srila Prabhupada, that if you are engaged in service to the Lord, Lord will provide you whatever you need. Lord will not provide you what your greed is telling you. He will not provide for your greed, but He will provide for your need. And that need may not be just one chapati, half chapati and one torn cloth on the body. It will be sufficient. It will be dignified. It will be respectful to your position. There are so many miracles happen in devotees' life. They are not sannyasis all the time. But even when Kardama Muni and Devahuti, they wanted to marry the 9 daughters, and Kardama Muni was simply interested in serving the Lord, being immersed in thoughts of the Lord. And Devahuti asked, "You are living right now after giving birth to 9 daughters. Who will marry them? Who will find suitable husband? I am not alone capable." At that time Brahma came with 9 selected rishis, suitable for each one of the 9 girls. And with all his expenses, he managed the marriage there only. So all the tasks that one has to go through to select a husband for a daughter, and all the arrangements and the ornaments and the wedding ceremony and the purohit and feeding, everything Brahma did. What does that mean? It means if one grahastha, even a grahastha, is fully immersed in serving the Lord, all his duties are taken care by the Lord. And it is very much true, I can tell you, 100% from my life's experience. We also got our daughter married. But it was a miracle. We didn't know how it happened. Honestly speaking, Whatever happened was totally a miracle and the mercy of the Lord. In front of our eyes, we had a daughter who was challenged daughter. How she was maintained was a miracle. How things happened in life. So one doesn't have to be a sannyasi. One simply has to accept the real spirit of sannyas. Before that, Prabhupada explains real definition of sannyasi. What he should do? Eat from the trees only. Whatever tree gives you, whatever falls from tree as fruit, eat from that. Drink from river water. Stay in the caves, mountains and under a tree. This is not possible in these days. Because who will go to the mountain, who will go to the tree, forest and Himalayas. The rivers are polluted, so you can't drink the water off the river. And nobody has that much determination to do that today. Even if you live like that, a vagabond, the police may arrest you, finding that you are a thief. But there are many miscreants like that. You may be one of the genuine sannyasis, but there are millions of those who are just in the garb of the sannyasi, just to maintain their food, and they are mainly thieves also, in the garb of sannyasi. That's why Prabhupada says that sannyasi is prohibited in Kali Yuga. So, should we give up all together the sannyas concept? No. We can accept the spirit of sannyas. The spirit of sannyas is more important than the change of dress. The spirit is, please listen carefully, I'm telling to me also. The spirit is to give up sense gratification. The spirit is to surrender the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the spirit is to dedicate our life energies, body, mind and words to preach the message of Supreme Personality of Godhead to common men. This is the principle of Vairagya. Even Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter talks about the essence of Vairagya, not the dress Vairagya, not the dress sannyasi. And this spirit can be adopted by a brahmachari or a grahastha or a vanaprastha or a sannyasi. In our sampradaya there is Bhakti Vinod Thakur. The goal of life is to enter spiritual world, Goloka. And he says, Jedina, whatever. He says, whenever I enter my home and I see my family members serving the Lord, Grihete Goloka Bhai, I feel I am entering Golok Vrindavan every day. He has not changed his cloth. He has not given a family life. He has not become sannyasi. He had 10 children. Very prosperous, wealthy, respectable, adorable life he had. But his heart was in the spirit of Vairagya. While being in the family life, he was totally dedicated to the service of the Lord and his devotees and the common men. He would sleep hardly 2-3 hours. In the midnight night, he would wake up and write bhajans and conduct Namhatta programs. He has contributed so much as a grahastha, so many song books, so many other books. He was preaching to common masses in the village. He was dedicated to the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But at the same time, an expert, you know, magistrate, judge, doing 16 hours work of judgment in 4 hours, effectively so much respected by the British government, although British government did not respect Indians so much. They always considered them second degree. And also treated them second degree. But he was such a great personality in his work, in his caliber, that they drew a railway line at the doorstep of his house to his workplace. In the history of mankind, maybe, of recent times, I don't think anybody has been respected by any government. Forget about the foreign government like British rule. For somebody who has railway line to his house and to workplace and nobody else travelling, and only one station from workplace to home. Impossible to even imagine, but it is a fact. You get out of your compound of the house and you enter the train. The train is standing there. One motorman, some servants, and you are the only passenger. And next stop is your office, that is your magistrate's court. Get down there and immediately enter the office. Finish the work, get in the train and go back. Krishnanagar to Godrumadweep. Railway line still exists. It's not functional. But you can see the glory. How one can become glorious, so successful in material life, at the same time, so 100% dedicated body, mind and words in the service of the Lord. And we may not be Bhaktivinoda Thakur, neither we can become or aspire to become Bhakti Vinod Thakur. But we can definitely adopt the spirit. And then, Srila Prabhupada explains how to adopt this mood, the essence of Vairagya. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Think of me, worship me, offer pranams to me, offer the fruits of your action to me, work for me, think of me, dedicate your life to me. And then Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, Grihete vanne thako, ha gauranga bolite dako. Whether you are in the household life or you're traveling in the forest or preaching all over the world as sannyasi, chant the name of the Lord, serve the Lord, give the message of the Lord. The same personality Thakur Bhaktivinoda says in other contexts. Grihe thako, vanne thako, sadahari bole dako, suke duke bule nako, badane hari naam koro re ghai, gora madhur sware. This is the spirit. Whether you are a brahmachari, grahastha, vanprastha, sannyasi, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, always chant the holy name. And miseries will come in life. Life will be mixed with challenges, unpleasant experiences, some happy experiences, lot of unpleasant experiences, sicknesses, challenges from family side, from your side, from your mind side, society side. Don't worry. Just be fixed in the Lord. Suki dukhi bule na ko. Whether happiness comes, don't get lost in the happiness. And sorrow comes, don't get lost in the miserable experiences of sorrow. Just chant the holy name with full faith. The Lord will deliver you from all these dualities of life. Sada hari bole dako. Vadane hari naam karo re. What stops you? Even if you are in misery or in tremendous happiness, just chant the holy name. That is, even if you are in the middle of happiness and chanting the holy name, that is what you are executing the highest principle of Vairagya actually. The happiness or the sorrow is not affecting you. What is involving you is the holy name and the seva of the Lord. So the real spirit of Vairagya is to fully depend on Supreme Personality of Godhead, even for maintenance and for everything else. To solve your problems, some conflicts that you go through, some difficulties that you go through from country to country, for every single thing happening in your life, depend on the Lord. And that Lord's help to you may come to you through somebody. The service will come to you, help will come to you, but you understand it is coming from the Lord. Like when Sannyasi went to take lunch in one Brijbasi's house in Nandagaon, our Ramachandra Goswami's house. And his son has invited the Sannyasi. And the Sannyasi was telling Ramachandra Prabhu Goswami's old mother, you know, almost a pure devotee she was, a wonderful soul. So the Sannyasi told the old mother of the house, "I have been called here to take prasad by your grandson." So she is a lady. She is a householder lady. What did she answer? "He is not feeding you. Nandalala is going to feed you." "Wo kya khawaayego? Nandalala khawaayego." "Sushil kya khawaayego?" "Uska naam Sushil hai." "He is not going to feed you. Nandalala is going to feed you." "She is going to cook for him. She has cooked for him. She is going to serve him that food, what she has cooked, what her husband and son has earned. But still she has a concrete foundational feeling and understanding that I am not feeding, Nandalala is feeding. She is not a sannyasi, please understand." So what is important is consciousness, what attracts the Lord. Same line again. The devotees should be free from all fear. Another important point Prabhupada mentions. What is the meaning of dependence on the Lord? There are so many fears. One of the fears Prabhupada writes here is fears of loneliness. You have given up your wife, husband, mother, father, brother, sister, family members, and now you are alone as a mendicant. So loneliness is another challenge. How to live alone? There are so many people, but they are not my suruda, or my blood relationship, or my close relatives. Prabhupada says, the Lord is always with you. So Srila Prabhupada can say that. He also lived alone in America, in the cold season, suffering so many things. Social problems, physical problems, nobody to help, nobody to donate, no followers, no support. But he said, "I never felt alone, although I was physically alone." My Guru's presence was there and my Lord's presence was there. My Guru always was there because I was attempting to serve His order. So through that effort of serving His order, He was always with me in spirit and I never felt alone. And by chanting the holy name of the Lord in the difficult times also, Krishna was always with me. Jethe jato tethe tu maja sangati. This rule is not applicable to only sannyasis. It is applicable to you and me also, provided we take shelter of that Lord. So, the story of Haridas Thakur comes in here again. Short I will explain, we read also. Haridas Thakur lived in the cave as a perfect sannyasi in the forest. But people would come to take association from him. And many people who took association from him were attached to him for association, but they were scared to come to that cave because a snake also lived in that cave. And Haridas Thakur didn't have any problem. Because even Radhanath Swami writes in Journey Home that there is a technique or there is a rule or there is some foundational principles how to live in jungle with all the wild animals. How to coexist with them. Like we coexist with rats and dogs and cats and mosquitoes and cockroaches in the house. There is a principle how to coexist with them. How to be clean also and how to not hurt them also. Because the principle of Vairagya also is to see the presence of the Lord in all the living entities who live with you and share the atmosphere with you. And when you are in that consciousness, you don't see them as to be killed entities. Mosquitoes, cockroaches, rats, other things, they should be killed for my safety, for my health and for my well-being. If that is the situation, then we keep suffering the reactions of our karmas. And we truly feel that I don't want to kill them. They are Lord's part and parcels. Let me not harm them. It is said the Lord will guide those living entities from the heart to leave your place. So Haridas Thakur was requested, please leave the cave because we can't take the association of the snake. So Thakur Haridas felt, okay, I will leave. And he was about to leave. Everybody came to take him from the cave and in front of everybody's eyes, the snake decided to leave. Very peacefully, without rising his hoods, he just left. And Thakur Haridas continued to live in the forest, in the cave. So clearly Supreme Personality of Godhead guided, inspired that snake to leave to make his devotee safe. So similarly, if one is dependent on the Lord, fully surrendered, fully dependent on the Lord, then the Lord will take care of your safety in His own perfect way, not the way I and you think. He knows how to protect you and He knows what is real protection. And sometimes we may die with snake bite, but we'll go back to Godhead. So we think, oh, why did the snake bite this saintly personality? Was the Lord not there to protect him? But we have a gross, materialistic, external understanding of protection. The Lord has most inner, transcendental way of understanding of His protection to us. So we don't know how He protects. We have to have full faith and full dependence. Lord also did not inspire the snakes to bite Prahlad. Is it not true? Lord protected Prahlad by not inspiring the elephants to trample on him. They raised their feet, but they did not trample. So when Lord was thanking Prahlad, oh, you suffered so much for me. I am very grateful to you. You had so much faith in me. I put you through so much of troubles. But Prahlad answered everything. I was put in the fire didn't burn me. I was put under the feet of the elephants, mighty elephants, they did not trample me. I was put in the pit of poisonous snakes, the snakes did not bite me, not even one. I was thrown off the cliffs, you collected me at the bottom of the cliff. And so on and so forth. All the weapons were tried on me, no weapons worked on me. You were the person behind controlling all the activities to protect me. So, how to develop this spirit. Now comes the practical point. Yes, we have glorified Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Madhavendra Puri, Prahlad Maharaj, Haridas Thakur. How to adopt this principle? That is the expertise of an Acharya. Srila Prabhupada makes the most highest thing, the most sublime, the most esoteric thing, most simple and practically applicable. He says, simply by submissive oral reception, one can develop this higher spirit. That means to listen. To listen to the transcendental message given by the Lord and given by His devotees through His scriptures, through His word. By doing our prescribed duties, also it's very important point is mentioned here. If a brahmachari or a grahastha or a vanprastha or a sannyasi understands his duties and performs his duty sincerely to the best of his capacity, he said this principle of highest vairagya can be developed. That means even if a grahastha is looking after his child or wife or mother or relatives or doing the needful for family duties sincerely, without ulterior motivation, without selfishness, if he does that, he will also develop the highest dependence on the Lord, the highest consciousness of sannyasi. And third thing, by engaging our senses in serving the Lord and His devotees, and serving the Lord's mission of preaching His message. If we are dedicated to this activity, engaging our senses, then first of all, we become dependable, we become trustworthy. In 5.4.19 verse in Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned that once we are engaging our senses in service of the Lord and His devotees, we become trustworthy. And by that, we get the mercy of the Lord. And by that, we become established on the highest principle of life. And finally, Thakur Bhakti Vinod is singing very beautiful. Kenomayara bosche yachcha beche kacha habu dububai. We used to laugh in the early days hearing this song. You know, how nice words are arranged here and there. But very deep philosophy. What is mentioned over here? See, unnecessarily we are getting trapped in Maya. We know, sometimes knowingly and sometimes unknowingly. But many times knowingly also, we get trapped. We want to get trapped. We go inside. And what happens? Then we are drowning in the ocean of miseries. Don't know how to come out of it. So deep ocean of miseries. So much miseries. Just because we are trying to enjoy something. Why are we drowning in the ocean of misery? Just learn what we learn. Jiva Krishna Das, Ehi Vishwas. Kolle Taar Dukhanai. Prabhupada says this word so beautifully, you know, because he is an original Bengali person. Kolle Taar Dukhanai. What is the meaning of that? As soon as you know, you are part and parcel of Krishna. As soon as you know, you are the servant of Krishna. As soon as you know, by realization, that you are protected by Krishna, what will happen? The first thing what will happen? Ar dukha nai, all the miseries will end. And who doesn't want to put end to the miseries? Tell me. Everybody, whether you are a sannyasi, brahmachari, grahastha, vanprastha, nobody likes miseries. And everybody wants to put end to the miseries. Just by knowing this and acting according to that principle that I am Krishna's servant and Krishna is protecting me, my job is to serve Krishna, all the miseries of life will end. Jaya sakala vipad, jaya sakala vipad. All miseries will go away. Bhakti vinod, bole ne yakhona onamagai. How all miseries, not little miseries, not part of miseries, how all the miseries will end. Just by taking shelter of the Lord and chanting His holy name, Thakur Bhakti Vinod says, one should not worry about maintenance, but just depend on the Lord. Do not waste time in doing karma kanda, jnana kanda, upasana kanda, yoga, and trying swarga loka. All these variety of efforts will never yield the happiness that you want. Will leave you unsatisfied. Even if you try all these things and get little success, but it will not satisfy you, the living entity, the soul inside. Your real need will not be fulfilled just by trying all these spiritual, so-called spiritual means. Jiva, all of us, spirit souls, can be happy only in bhakti, only by performing devotional service, engaging our senses, rishikena, rishikesha sevanam, bhakti ruttama. Not only we will be happy and satisfied, but the Lord will accept us as His own. First step is, we become happy and satisfied and fulfilled. Fine, but that's not the end of the story. That doesn't lead you anywhere. We continue living over here only. But living life like this in full faith and dependence of the Lord, chanting the holy name, serving the Lord, serving his devotees, serving the Vaishnavas. The Lord gets attracted to you. He accepts you as his own and keeps you always with him in the material world, in the spiritual world, or wherever you are, you always remain in the lap of the Lord. Salavishi Hati Dharuniya. He is accompanying you. He will accompany you at every step. Just you have to feel his presence. Feel his hand in every activity, in sorrow or happiness. You will see the Lord is involved, personally maintaining you. And thus, although not sannyasis, we can live the life of a sannyasi. Anukulyasya sankalpo, pratikulyasya varjanam, smartavyam, satatam krishna, vismartavyam na jatuchit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Wishing all of you happy Janmashtami, which is coming soon, by chanting the holy name, by serving the Lord, by telling others about Krishna. Every day is Janmashtami. It's not only on the Shravan Vadya Ashtami. Every single day, every single morning, Brahma Murta is Janmashtami. When we call the holy name and let the Lord appear in the heart in the form of his sound vibration. Thank you very much. Hari Bol. Are there any question? Anybody has any question, comment? Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, please, any comment? Your encyclopedia. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Thank you very much, everybody.
प्रभु जी थोड़ा क्लिप खरीदो क्लिप चाहिए बोला क्लिप टूट गया हाँ प्रभु जी
आ गए
मैं श्रीजेश्वर
गया त्रिगुण जी त्रिगुण जी
त्रिगुण जी
हाँ
पूरा गोकर्ण पूरा
मुरुडेश्वर
मुरुडेश्वर